Clap your hands unto the Lord. Come on, shout unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come on, serve the Lord with gladness. Be grateful unto him. You know, there is nobody like Jesus. Amen. There's all kind of people that are out there that call themselves Jesus. There are many people that proclaim to be the Christ. There are others that proclaim that they are the doorway to God. And there's other people that are out there that say that they have a substitute for him. But can I tell you that Jesus is unmatched? He is unparalleled. There is no one beside him, no one before him, no one coming after him. There's nobody greater than him, nobody that loves like he loves. No one can do you like Jesus can do you. Amen. Amen. And if you came to get a hold of Jesus, you're in the right place tonight. You hear that? I said, if you came to get a hold of Jesus, you're in the right place tonight. For where two or three people are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of us. Amen. He was in the midst of this morning, and souls went down in water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. He's here. He was in the midst of us this morning, and souls that had never came here before were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's in the midst of us. There have been several people that have prayed through this morning, and there have been others that have prayed back through to the Holy Ghost tonight. You know why? Because he's in the midst of us. And if he's in the midst of us, I think we should just go ahead and give God a thank you praise for what he has done this day. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Amen. It is an honor to be here again in the house of the Lord. Such a beautiful, beautiful presence of God that we feel in this house. Amen. You know, you can't find this everywhere. Amen. I'm telling you that if you're not a member of this church and you live in this area, you don't have a church home that preaches the truth. Amen. You don't need to look no further. Amen. Amen. There's fire here at the Church of Pentecost. Man, you got an anointed atmosphere, you got an anointed pastor and anointed preaching and anointed singing and anointed musicians. Why am I keep stressing the anointing? Because that's the only thing that destroys the yoke. Why go somewhere where there's no anointing? Amen. Amen. I'm talking about the kind of atmosphere that you've got here and the kind of anointing that is in this house. It takes drug dealers and turn them into preachers. Come on, and take the crackhead and make him put his cocaine down and pick up the Bible. Amen. I'm talking about transformation. Anybody in this room ever been transformed by the power of God? Come on, I know you may look and you may say that these people have been in church all their life. But if everybody in this room that know what I'm talking about, grab the hold of this microphone and begin to just talk about where the Lord brought them from, many of you would be shocked. But can I tell you that if God will do it for us, he'll do the same thing for you. He's a good God. He's undefeated. Let's go ahead and get into the Bible. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. The book of Hebrews chapter 13. Young man, I love you. Come here. Yeah. I want you to come up here. I want you to lift your hands. Pastor, I felt led to do that this morning. I want you to grab the oil. You're going to remember this day for the rest of your life. I want you to stretch your hands towards heaven. I don't know who you are, but the hand of God is on your life, all right? And I'm telling you that the hand of the Lord will always be with you and upon you. The Lord will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. The Lord is going to use you in a mighty way. There's a desire to go after God. There's a sensitivity to God that I see upon you, and God is going to use you mightily all around this world. You're going to see thousands of souls filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is a prophetic anointing. There's a prophetic anointing that will rest upon you mightily. God will confirm his word every time you speak with miracle signs and wonders. God will give you authority over this territory, and God will give you authority over regions around the world. I've come to tell you there are going to be people whose blinded eyes will be opened. You will be sent in the hospitals, and people that will be on their deathbed dying, God will use you to lay hands on them, and they will get up out of their sickbed. There's a faith that is on the inside of you that is going to be stirred. And can I tell you, as God begins to do this thing, he's going to move mountains on your behalf. In the name of Jesus, all I want you to do is live pure before the Lord. Keep your hands clean. Keep your heart pure before God. Stay before the presence of God. When everybody wants to go one direction, you find yourself here on the altar. And can I tell you that as you do this, God will open up everything for you and your family by the power and by the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the anointing presence of God fall upon my brother this day. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would use him mightily, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke all fear. Lord God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give him great authority. In the name of Jesus, help him to walk in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that none of these words slip in the name of Jesus, but let the power of God work through him mightily, through miracle signs and wonders. Give him authority when he speaks, Lord, that as he speaks, Lord, the Holy Ghost falls. Let him walk in apostolic dominion and authority. Let him walk in an anointing, Lord God, that is far greater than mine. Lord, let him be a servant, Lord God, to all men. Let him be submitted to his pastor. Lord God, let him be submitted to godly leadership. Help him to hate evil and love good. Help him to love truth, Lord, and articulate it by the power and the authority that is in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the glory of the Lord rise among him this day. Lord, we glorify you. Come on, somebody. Come on, in the name of Jesus. I feel the power of God. I feel the authority of God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 1 declares, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bond with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man do unto me. Remember them which have ruled over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith also considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The sixth verse again says, so that we may boldly, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my help. Somebody say, the Lord is my help. Come on, you got to say it with boldness. I need a young person in this room to say it with boldness. The Lord is my help. You understand, praise the Lord. And it says, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Bible says, a verse after that, skipping it, says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to talk to you tonight about the Lord being here, and he is your help, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Turn to somebody and say, I believe he's with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let your spirit fill this place, Lord. Let your spirit fill these pews. Let your spirit fill these altars. And most of all, let your spirit fill these vessels. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every evil spirit that is in this house tonight. I command by the power and by the authority that's in the name of Jesus for every high place to come down tonight. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy breakthrough and deliverance over this church. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that there be a revival this year that's never happened in the history of this church. In the name of Jesus, let the boldness of the Lord begin to stand up in the hearts of every feeble person that's in this room. I command every evil spirit that's had a hold of you to break its hold off of you tonight. I command demons to leave out of people tonight. I command strongholds to leave out of people tonight. We command sickness to leave out of people tonight. Lord, fill people in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, let people sins be washed away tonight through water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we will glorify you. We will lift you up. We will magnify you. And we will rejoice with heaven as every sinner in this house repents before you. Tonight we glorify you in the name of Jesus Christ. Put your hands together and give the Lord great praise all over this building tonight. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. You can be seated. The Bible declares in the book of Hebrews, it talks about letting brotherly love continue. He has let us understand, praise of God, that the love of God is able to cover a multitude of sin. The scripture declares that love covers a multitude of sin. The scripture declares also in the book of Corinthians that love, praise God, is not selfish. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love does not seek the things of itself, but the things of other people. I've come to tell every person in this house tonight that if you want to attract God and if you want the favor of God to be on your life, begin to love the Lord your God, your heart, with all your heart, mind, and soul. You gotta understand the scripture declares it when it comes down to love. Love is patient, like we said. Love is kind. What do you mean? Love does not seek its own, but love seeks the own of somebody else. What do you mean, Brother Hurd? Love is not in this thing for itself, but love is in this thing for somebody else. And can I tell you tonight that God is looking for somebody that will fall out of love with themselves and begin to fall in love with Jesus. What do you mean? Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach to somebody in this room tonight. Praise God. That maybe somebody lied to you and told you that you can't love nobody until you love yourself first. Can I tell you that you loving yourself is not the measuring rod for how you love somebody else? You want to find out what the measuring rod is? The Bible declares that God is love. Can I tell you His love is perfect? His love is not self-centered, self-seeking, or self-serving. You gotta understand that the love of God is so powerful that the Bible declares that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You gotta understand that when it comes down to the love of God, God did not give us what we deserve, but He gave us something that we did not deserve because of the love that He has for us. What do you mean? There's some people in this room that you say your boyfriend does not love you, and you got a girlfriend that you have broken up with and she don't love you either. And some of you in this room, praise the Lord, you might not have ever met your earthly father, your earthly mother, and you're questioning the love that they have for you. But can I tell you that can't nobody love you like Jesus can love you? Can nobody do you like Jesus can do you? What do you mean? When I begin to think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He has done for me, when I begin to think of times when I was on the verge of losing my mind, when I begin to think of those seasons in life where I felt like I wanted to commit suicide, when I think about them times when I was in a dark place and I wasn't even thinking about God, the love of God, yet was thinking about me. Jesus died for the ungodly while we was yet in our sin. You want to talk about love? Praise the Lord. I'm talking about a love that will love you out of darkness into this marvelous light. I'm talking about a love that will come down from all the glory that is in heaven and get into the fleshly body, robe Himself in flesh and die on the behalf of other people's sins. Can I tell you, praise the Lord, that Jesus did not die for His benefit. He died for your benefit. What do you mean? I've come to tell you that only love can do something like that. Jesus said, no manner of love is this, that a man will lay down his life for a friend. Somebody in this room know what I'm talking about. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What do you mean, Brother Hurd? Maybe, praise the Lord, there's some folks in this room that maybe you've forgotten where God's brought you from. Why? Because when the redeemed of the Lord say so, they open up their mouth. They testify about where God has brought them from. What do you mean? I could be silent, praise the Lord, when I'm in the library, and I could be silent, praise the Lord, when I'm in the courtroom, and I can be silent when I'm in, praise God, some court somewhere. But when I begin to hear somebody talk about Jesus, and I begin to hear somebody talk about the Lord, and begin to talk about His power, something on the inside of me begins to start shaking. Something on the inside of me starts to move. I can't stand still if you begin to call on that name. I can't sit back with my hands folded when you begin to magnify that name. I don't care what kind of day I'm having. I don't care what kind of year that's going on in my life. I don't care what kind of day, what kind of pain, or how sleepy I am. When I begin to hear somebody magnify the Lord, something comes alive on the inside of me, and something wants to make me lift my hands. Something wants to make me stop my feet. Something wants to make me open my mouth and glorify. That's my King. That's my Savior. That's my Lord. If you don't mind, let me bless His name just for a moment. The Bible declares, it says, let brotherly love continue. You got to understand, praise God, that if you have brotherly love, you have gotten that brotherly love because Jesus has loved you. You got to understand that we are baptized into the body by one Spirit. Every person in this room that got the Holy Ghost today, you got the same Holy Ghost that the apostles received. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. You got to understand, praise God, that when you become a brother and sister in the Lord, you've got a high calling. You got to understand, praise God, you're not just sitting next to a neighbor. You're sitting next to your brother. What do you mean? You got a connection that goes beyond this world. You got a spirit that goes beyond this world. You got to understand that brotherly love continues when you deny yourself and you love God. What do you mean? You got to understand, the Bible declares, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you do this, you fulfill the law. The Bible talks about, praise God, when it comes down to the love of God, He said, by this men shall know that you are my disciples, for you shall have love one to another. Can I tell you that God loves you? Can I tell you that God also not only loves you, but God is able to love through you? What do you mean, my friend? Just because your daddy beat your mama don't mean that you're going to beat your wife when you get older. Why? Because the Holy Ghost got a hold of you before that generational spirit can get a hold of you. Maybe mama didn't take care of you, praise the Lord, and you're concerned about that thing creeping up on you. You hear people talking about how your mama was when your mama was younger, and said that y'all were the same, and said that she was smart just like you were smart. Your daddy was a brilliant genius just like you are, and now you are afraid because you're concerned that you're going to go AWOL like mama and daddy went AWOL. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost gets in, the earthly father steps in before the heavenly father steps in before the earthly father's spirit can take over. What do you mean? When the Holy Ghost comes in, he said, I take over from here. I don't care what his daddy did when he was this age. I got it from here. I don't care what his mama did at that age. I got it from here. Is there somebody in this room that can testify? If it had not have been for the Lord who is on my side. Glory to his name. Had not have been for the Lord who was on my side. You see one thing, but God sought another thing. See, you understand, the Bible declares, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. What do you mean? Anybody in this room know that God blocks some stuff? Anybody in this room know that God blocks some stuff? You should have been dead, but God blocked it. Should have been cut off, but God blocked it. Should be on skin row, but God blocked it. I'm telling you, young man, God blocked some stuff in you the other night. Telling you, young lady, God blocked some stuff in you this morning. What do you mean? The devil had an assignment, but God canceled it, because from the foundation of the world, he slayed a lamb. Somebody magnify him. Somebody exalt him. Somebody glorify him. Somebody lift him up. What do you mean, Brother Harry? You gotta understand. So the Bible declares, let brotherly love continue. What do you mean, God said, I want to get into the flow? What do you mean? You gotta understand, praise God, that God said, I want to work in your midst. He said, I want to do some stuff in you. But let me tell you, I don't want to just do it with you by yourself. I want to do some stuff with you through your brethren. I want you to be united. Everybody say one. Oh, what do you mean, church? You got to understand, it's one thing when you come together in one building. It's another thing when you come together and you got one Bible that you're preaching for. It's another thing when you come together in one spirit. It's another thing when you come together in that one faith. When you come into the unity of the faith, there is an apostolic authority that begins to rest upon the people. I'm talking about a governing force that hell cannot penetrate. The Bible declares, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Can I tell you, in this church God's raising up apostles, in this church God's raising up prophets, in this church God's raising up pastors, in this church God's raising up, somebody's going to hear me, there's an evangelist coming out of the pews of this church, there's a pastor coming out of the pews of this church, there's a missionary in the pew. I'm telling you, the devil might not like it and don't want you to receive it, but the devil is a liar. There's prophets in this church. There's apostles in this church. There's pastors in this church. There's evangelists in this church. There's teachers in this church. And devil, they're going to turn your kingdom upside down. They're going to turn this city upside down. They're going to turn this region upside down. They're going to turn this country upside down. They're going to turn this world upside down. But not only do they have power, they've got character. They've got the character of God flowing through them. Why? Because the favorite weapon, the greatest weapon, praise the Lord, that the Lord has in your arsenal is love. I mean, you gotta understand, love cannot be penetrated. Love cannot be defeated. Love cannot be destroyed. The Bible lets us know that everything is gonna fail, but love, it never fails. Praise the Lord, love is able to endure all things. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, let brotherly love continue. What do you mean, what happens when we come together, praise the Lord, and everybody's not concerned about themselves, but other people begin to become concerned about the neighbor that's next to you. I'm telling you, this year, God said, if you can watch somebody else's back, he said, I'll take care of your back. If you can watch the back of your brother, the Lord said, somebody else will watch the back of your sister. If you can watch the back of your brother, he said, I'll have somebody else cover you. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? You got to understand. He said, I want to let brotherly love continue. He said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. God said, I don't even want you, praise the Lord, to just keep it with your brother. He said, I want you to entertain strangers. Why? Because I'm sending angelic visitations your way. I'm telling some people in this room today, some of you are going to have an angelic visitation this year. Some of you are going to have an angelic visitation. Why? You're going to have it because you're busy not thinking about yourself, but you're busy thinking about how you can serve somebody else. I want to activate the power. I want to walk in the anointed. I want to walk in the authority of the Holy Ghost. I want to see the Spirit of God turn the nation upside down. I want to see the Spirit of God turn the city upside down. I want to see people I've never met before and meet them for the first time. And within a matter of seconds, they're talking in other tongues. I want to see somebody in Walmart I never met before get up out of the wheelchair in aisle 7. Is there anybody in this room that think I'm not talking crazy? Is there somebody in this room that'll get radical with me? Is there somebody in this room that will believe God?
He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That means, praise the Lord, that whatever the apostles did, he can do it right now. Whatever Jesus did, he can do it right now. And not only can he do it, he can do it in me and do it through me and do it through you right now. What do you mean, brother? Hurt somebody in this room needs to quit looking at yourself after the flesh and start looking at yourself after the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He said, the thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. What do you mean? God said, I'm going to do some things that you did not expect. I'm going to do some things that's greater than your expectation. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Somebody in this room needs to stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to be a witness. I'm getting ready to get out of my box. I'm getting ready to step out of my comfort zone. I'm stepping out of the comfort zone into the glory zone. I'm stomping everything off the pulpit. Be seated. Go ahead, get the rest of it. There you go. You might want to take the pulpit too. That might fall over too. All this weight. He said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. He said, not only be not forgetful to entertain strangers, he said, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. What do you mean, Brother Hurd? God said, you want to have angelic visitations? He said, start entertaining people like they're angels. Start entertaining people like they're Jesus. Start serving people like they're the Lord. Start saying, if I do it unto the least of these, I'll do it unto him. Start treating people like he's Jesus, and you'll see more of the manifestation of Jesus in your ministry, in your life, in your city. It says, for thereby some have entertained them unaware. Remember them that are in bonds and is bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? You got to understand, when I was driving over here to the church, I looked, and to my left as I was coming here, praise the Lord, I looked to my left, and all of a sudden I saw these young ladies. These young ladies were standing like giants. From the car, they looked like they were probably about 7, 8, 9 feet tall. But then I got a little bit closer, pulled into the driveway of the gas station, and I recognized they were standing upon these big old sticks. I don't know what you call them, but they were balancing themselves upon these things. And then I was just amazed at the fact that they were able to maintain their balance. It looked like what you would see at a circus. I drove around and I began to look, and I was trying to see what the sign was saying that they were holding up. And then the sign that said, we want you to give and remember those that are in Puerto Rico because of all the earthquakes that were there. What do you mean by the hurt? God has said, if somebody in this room would quit focusing on your bonds and start focusing on the bond, I'm telling you, church, there's a visitation coming to this church, and some of you are not awake. Some of you want to treat it like this as any other year, but this ain't every other year. This is the year of the Lord, and he is going to do some things that you've never seen him do before. Turn to your neighbor and say, get your mind off your bonds. take your mind off of your problem. Get your mind off of your situation and get your mind on how can I get somebody else out. What do you mean, Brother Hurt? If many of us was in the room and you handcuffed us behind our back, many of us could be impossible for us to take the handcuffs off of ourselves. If we want to get the handcuffs off of ourselves, somebody has to have a key. If you're focusing on trying to get the handcuffs off of your own back, you will never get the handcuffs off until somebody starts saying that if I can back up to you and you can back up to me and my hands are behind my back, I can't uncuff myself, but if I can uncuff you, then you can uncuff me, and if you can uncuff me, we can have revival. I'm telling you, everybody's bands were loose. I'm telling somebody in this room tonight that God wants to give this city a Paul and Silas revival. God wants to give this neighborhood a Paul and Silas revival. God wants to give this church a Paul and Silas revival. Get your hands up towards heaven right now. Glorify him right now. Open your mouth up right now and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. There is an acceleration that is taking place in the spirit realm as we're speaking right now. There are people being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost at record numbers. People are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ at record numbers. There are miracles that are happening frequently that didn't used to happen frequently at all. There's stuff that's being recorded now that we hadn't seen done since the Bible days. What do you mean, Brother Hurd? I'm telling you that God has not changed. He did it back then. He's doing it again. And he will work the work while it is day. I'm telling you, church, God's going to do a work to you. He said, greater works than these shall you do when I return unto my Father. Somebody in this room needs to shout unto God for victory. Brother Hurt, you got to understand that God said, Brother Hurt, said, George, I don't want you just to preach this thing. I want these people to be persuaded and convinced of this thing. Listen, I'm not here to give you some sermon or something that's been premeditated on and written out. I'm giving you a word from the Lord, and I've come to tell every person in this room today that God said, I want to do some things that you've never seen done before. I want to move some things you've never seen move before. But only a few of us in this room actually believe it. What do you mean? If I told you if the house was on fire, you would run out of here. If I told you that people out there with guns, you would go grab your guns or you would run for cover. If there's a hole in the building and I told you it's getting ready to rain, you grab an umbrella. But now I tell you that God is getting ready to rise in your midst, and you sit there as if God ain't coming. The devil is a liar. Somebody is going to get a hold of this. Somebody is going to get a hold of this. And I think now is the time to get a hold of what the Spirit is saying to the church. Somebody lift him up. Somebody glorify him. Lord said, George, it has not registered really in the hearts of many people because they've never seen it done before. He said, George, there's some in this room. It just hasn't registered with them. They're thinking on the smaller level. There are those that will believe it when they see it. But God said there are going to be those that are going to see it because they believe it. Somebody in this room is going to step out. Somebody in this room is going to do something they've never done before. Somebody in this room is going to step out and say, I believe God. I've never done this before, but I'm going to believe Him. We're going to see revival. We're going to turn this city upside down. Said fires is honorable and all the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. This ain't the time to be sleeping with somebody else's wife. This ain't the time to be sleeping. Come on, somebody. This ain't the time to be sleeping with somebody else's husband. This ain't the time to be shacking up with somebody that ain't your husband. This ain't the time to be shacking up with your boyfriend and girlfriend. This ain't the time to be having your sugar daddy on the side or your sugar mama on the side. This is the time to be holy. This is the time to be pure. This is the time to be consecrated. This is the hour that God it's going to do exploits, but you've got to sanctify yourself this day. The Bible declares him that knoweth God shall be strong and do exploits. Let your conversation be without covetousness. I mean, God said this here. He said, I don't want you covered in nothing. I don't want you talking about if all I had was this, or if I could get more of that, or if I could get this job, or if I could get this car, or if I had what this person had. God said, this here, get the covetous now out your mouth, and get love in your mouth. See, love don't covet, it only gives. I got more to give than what I could ever covet. You got to understand, the Bible declares, when Peter and John was at the gate called Beautiful, there was a man that was sitting there coveting that they would give him money, give him alms. Praise the Lord that he could have some things, as he was a beggar. He was lame. Peter and John looked at him and fastened their eyes on him and said, silver and gold I have not. But such as I do have, I give unto you. Take up your bed and walk. Listen, you might not have a checkbook flowing with zeros and dollar bill signs. But my friend, you got an anointing. You got the Holy Ghost. You got a gift. You got a word. You got a king. You got a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he did it for the prophets, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Peter, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Paul, he'll do it for you. If he did it for Jesus, the firstborn of many brethren, he will do it for you. He's no respecter of persons. If he did it back then, he will do it again. The Lord just told me, he said, Joyce, tell them, he said, tell them I'm doing more than what I did back then. Hallelujah. That should have filled somebody's faith level right now. Somebody should have said, you know what? Let me rewrite the contract. Let me rewrite what I had in my mind and think a little bit bigger, because what I thought, you said you're doing bigger, so let me go back to the drawing board. Let me go back to the vision room. See, some of you have been in a dark season. Some of you are in a dark season, and God said, I want you to quit wasting your dark season and try to figure out how you're going to come out of it. He said, don't you know that vision is made in the midst of darkness? Don't you know you want to get a good picture? You got to go to a dark room. When you go to the dark room, he mixed that thing with some water. You got to learn how to stir up the Holy Ghost when you're in the middle of your dark season. When I stir up that well, I come out with vision. I see something that I did not see before. God said, I want to show you something in the midst of your darkness. I want to do some things that eyes had not seen before. Somebody has to get in imagination. Somebody has to get a thought in your mind that literally blows and overwhelms your mind. I'm not talking about, you know, people be like, you know, get something that's more realistic. Get something, you know, listen, this ain't psychology or where you set long-term goals and short-term goals and get something reasonable. I've come to tell you that your God is beyond human reasoning. And if it's reasonable, it ain't God. Man can get glory for what appears to be reasonable. But only God can get the glory when he does something that defies human reasoning. He needs somebody on earth that said, you know what, I knew he'd do it. I believe that he'd do it. I believe that the young lad that gave Jesus his two fish and five loaves of bread, I believe he knew that God was going to work a miracle. I believe he knew that God was going to do the miraculous. I believe he had an expectation. And the expectation that he had was not molded and crafted by what he had already seen done. God said, I want to go beyond what I've seen done. If I plant one seed in the ground, one seed that by the time the fruit comes can bring forth 100 seeds. And then I plant those 100 seeds in the ground, and by the time it's over with, that 100 seed can bring forth 1,000 seeds. And then when I plant that in the ground, that 1,000 can bring forth 10,000. God said, why are you trying to get smaller when I'm trying to get bigger in the earth? Why are you trying to reinvent the wheel? If I fed 10,000, 5,000, I can do 10,000. He says, let your conversation be without covetous. Why? Because listen, if you will do this, if you will obey these scriptures right here, your faith will step into a dimension. You will step into a realm where God doesn't just do stuff any other time or at random times, but God will start moving all the time. There will be a flow. There will be a systematic flow. It takes place on the daily basis of your life. If you will obey what I'm telling you, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. That means I can step out a little bit further. Anybody in this room, somebody ever asked you, hey, can I have $10? And you gave the $10 according to what you had in the bank account. And then somebody else came to you and they're like, hey, can I have $500? And you're like, you know, I don't really like you like that. You know? I don't really know you like that. You know, we cool, but we ain't that cool. Then your cousin or your sister call you. Or your brother call you, that sister in the church, that brother in the church that you really got that connection with call you and say, hey, can I get 500 from you? And because of your connection and your love for that person, you'll step back and you will say, all right, I don't really have this to give. But I do know that come Wednesday, I'll get paid again. But I need you, but I got that money tied up. I need you that come Wednesday, I give it to you, but you got to pay me back. I've got it. But my money's funny. It's tied up right now. I don't know if I got it to give. I got it to loan, but I don't have it to give. Cousin says, all right, that's cool. That'll work. We got you. And the reason why you gave it is because you could see where it's coming from. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness. If you covet, you won't give. You can't be full of giving and full of covetousness at the same time. He said, but be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. What do you mean? I said, I'm going to be your supply. What do you mean? I'm going to, if you give it all, I will return it. See, some of us don't mind giving some, but we don't give all. And when you are a lover of God and you are a lover of the brethren, you don't just give some, you give all. I can't hear nobody in this room. Only about a three of you in this room going to have revival. The other folks going to be sitting back trying to figure out why you still messed up like you were last year. Why does 2020 look like 2015? I've come to tell you, you can't give some, you got to give all. Love without restraint.
I love like that, then what if they take advantage of me?
Then the Bible talks about do good to those that spitefully use you. That's apostolic. At that moment, you should count it all joy. That the Lord said when they do that, that joy is for you. It's at that moment you're supposed to rejoice. What do you mean? God said, I'm going to change how some of you rejoice. Some of you only rejoice in the good seasons. But God said, I'm going to teach you how to rejoice in the bad season. Somebody's going to break into your house and steal everything you got. You're going to come to church. You're going to magnify the Lord. And come next week, God's going to replace everything you got. That's how it works. He's not going to give you the blessing when your heart is full of covetousness. He's going to give you the blessing when your heart is full of love and your heart's full of giving.
Yeah.
He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'm talking about you're coming into a place where it don't make sense. You want to see God do some stuff in your life this year that don't make sense. You want to see God move in some ways that don't make sense. You want to go to church and go to work and testify about some things that don't make sense. They're going to say, let me come to your church. Let me come see about your God. Because it ain't happening where I go. What you're doing in your life don't make sense to me. God said, I want to blow your neighbor's mind. You know what makes sense? Coming to church, sitting down on the pew, getting the priest's word, going home and not seeing anything done. But coming back this following week and just feeding yourself and feasting at a table, having enough word to not only deliver you, but deliver everybody on your block. And you go home and you set your blinds and you lock your door and you put your alarm system on because you don't want those evil sinners out there getting a hold of what you got. Some of you in this room, God said, if you don't give them what I gave you, I'm going to take, have them take the other stuff he gave you. Somebody in this room ain't hear me. Let me repeat myself. God said, if you don't give them what he gave you freely, I'm going to have them take what you worked for. So some of you in this room, you don't ever open up your house for a Bible study. You ain't never, I don't let nobody in my house like that. When your stuff come up missing, everybody in the church, remember this. Remember this day. When your stuff, when you come home and your stuff is gone, say, I want everybody to ask them, don't cry about them. Don't pity them. Don't feel sorry for them. I am commanding you to say to them, are you ready to have Bible study in your house now? I mean, because they done seen everything. They done saw your drawers. They done saw your socks. They done saw your cat. They saw everything.
Might as well
open up the house. Because if you don't open up and let them in, the devil will break in and let them in. Sam alert. Said, remember them that have rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God. Listen, this is a word for this church. He says, I'm talking about everything I've been preaching, but this right here, you better get, because if you don't get this, whatever you got, you're lost. If you don't get this. Remember them which have rule over you. He'll have spoken unto you the word of God. Listen, he ain't speaking no Jack Ladd, Oprah Winfrey, Dr. Phil, Jerry Springer, Murray garbage. He's speaking the word of God. He is speaking something to you that comes straight down from heaven above. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. That means you need to really, in this hour, keep in mind the godly authority and leadership that's in your life. Understand that you're under authority. When my pastor tells me something, I'll be like, you know, I've yet to ever tell my family, and God forbid I ever do it. I know what pastor said, but we ain't doing that. Oh, I know what pastor said, but, you know, basically pastor preached one thing, and then I go home and do the opposite. You better remember your leadership. Well, I mean, because you could do all this stuff, and if you ain't got no leadership, you make yourself a self-righteous idol. I'm going to be more submitted to authority in this year than what I have in every other year. Because there's too much anointing and power going on in one season to not have any spiritual covering and any spiritual authority on your life.
The devil ain't got to send out all kind of crazy stuff to overthrow a preacher or overthrow a prophet or an evangelist or Sunday school teacher or a pastor. All he's got to do is get that pastor or that leader or that young person to have something in their heart towards leadership and say, I'm going to do the complete opposite of what you will hang yourself. You will destroy yourself. You don't need the witch to do it. You've already bewitched yourself. Let's get out of here. How long has it been, babe? Isaac. He's scared. He's like, 20 minutes, Dad. 20 minutes. It's been 20 minutes. Half an hour, 45 minutes. How long? All right, we got to go. I'm trying to cut it out. Last year, I preached too many long messages. This year, I'm going back to how it was when I was on the evangelist field, first came on the evangelist field. It said, remember them which have rule over you, and spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow and consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Somebody in this room has got to allow Jesus to be the same today in the lives of his church as he was on the day of Pentecost. That's like a woman getting married and the dude like, yeah, you know, I don't believe in beating women, and you know I believe, you know, I'm a godly man. Praise the Lord! I'm just on fire for God. I love God with all my heart. You know, I'm with the Jesus thing. You know what I'm talking about? I'm with the Jesus thing. And, you know, I believe a man need to work. He don't work. He don't need. You know, I'm a family man. You know, I'm with you. And the girl like, oh, he loved Jesus. Oh God, I love a young man on fire for the Lord, and then you turn around and get married the numb nut. And then you found out he was all talk. You like, I thought she went to work. Yeah, you know, I'd be working out, you know. I'd be working on that mixtape I'm trying to drop. I'd be working in the studio. I thought you took a shower. Oh yeah, you know, girl, I ain't even gotta be like that. You know, I love you, girl. I ain't gotta take no shower like that. It only been about 3-4 days. You act like I've been working or something. I just been on the Xbox. I thought you was a family man. This is your baby. I don't know who baby that is. I smoke too much weed. My count level low. That's your baby. I'm from the hood, so maybe y'all's hood in Cleveland ain't like the hood that I come from, but kind of flashback, man. Went back to 97. I'm back. 2020. I'm seeing clear now. I'm back. You ever signed up for something and you got something different? I don't like going to Popeyes sometimes. I don't like going to McDonald's in the hood because, and Burger King in the hood, because they never give it to me my way. You can either get this or go. Drive off. You a world star. You know how folks is. So the Burger King, they yelling world star. The workers, the manager. You get ready to get whooped. You better drive off. You ever signed up for something and you got something different? We need to make sure that we are representing Jesus.
to the best of our capability. And if we need to come up a little higher and we got to push the plate back and we got to fast more, if we need to pray more, whatever it takes to make the light brighter, I need to shine the light in my city. I can't hide under a bush. I have to be upon a hill, upon a candlestick. Lift your hands towards heaven right now.